for you tonight about what's going on in the city and here in the neighborhood. Give you the opportunity to ask your questions and make your comments. We haven't met. My name is Will Stewart, and I am the alderman here in Ward 2. And would like to thank Mount Carmel Rehab and Nursing for hosting us here tonight. Very gracious of them. Now we have a full house. We may have a few more chairs we can pull in from outside. So kind of what we're going to do tonight, we're going to try to explain first a little bit about what's going on. So we want to give an overview, first of all, of what's happening, again, here in the city and here in the neighborhood. For that, we have a number of staff members from the city. We have representatives from the Planning and Community Development Department, from the Manchester Fire Department, and from the City Solicitor's Office. We'll kind of be providing that a little bit of context. Then we're going to hear from a couple of organizations that are proposing to put facilities here in the neighborhood. Both Blueprint Recovery, which was you may have seen in the paper today at 70 Russell Street, and the folks from Liberty House, who are proposing to put a homeless veterans facility at what's now known as the Bishop Peterson residence, just right behind this building. After that, we're going to open it up to questions. You'll be able to question both the applicants who want to do these projects, as well as city staff, and in the hope that we can and really have more informed opinions, you know, what's going on at these facilities and, you know, what type of oversight there is, et cetera. I'd like to recognize a couple of people who are here tonight. We have my colleague from Ward 4, Alderman Jim Roy, is here. We have from the mayor's office, the mayor's chief of staff, right back here in the background. Thank you, Mr. Mahoney. And State Representative Linda DeSilvestro from here in Ward 2 is here as well. So thank you all for coming out tonight. And definitely want to be respectful of everyone's time and jump right in. So with that, I will invite up the gentleman from the City of Manchester to kind of give us a little overview and talk about where we are right now. Gentlemen, come on up. You know, this is Planning and Community Development Director Leon LaPrettier. We have Attorney Greg Muller from the City Solicitor's Office, and we have some other folks. I know Fire Chief Dan Goonan is here as well. So, gentlemen, I'll turn it over to you guys.
I also have my colleagues, Mike Landry from my office. So, I'm thinking that the most productive access that I can provide to you would be to answer questions that maybe when we get to that point. There's not a lot that I'm going to talk about up front beyond the fact that to let you know that this is not a single neighborhood issue, this is not a single ward issue, but it is a citywide issue where we're seeing that there are uses that are taking place in neighborhoods that are not necessarily consistent with what the traditional single-family or two-family structures might have housed. I'm doing the best I can. I have this motor right over my head, so I'll try. So essentially the framework that I work in the Planning Community Development is that we administer the building codes and the land use regulations, which are, in this case would be the zoning ordinance. So the zoning ordinance identifies what uses can take place in what zoning districts across the city. In the case of the topic at hand tonight, we get presented with when somebody wants to utilize a property for a specific use, we have to evaluate that use and look over the table uses and locate it in the closest category that the ordinance has pertaining to those types of uses, and then see if it's allowed in the zoning district. These uses are not all the same. Some are very specific in providing an institutional environment that is something that can be categorized as such in the zoning ordinance, can be categorized as congregate housing or a rooming house or a nursing facility or whatever, depending on the nature of the services provided. But they can also spread into what has traditionally been the definition of family. And our ordinance has a fairly broad definition of what a family is and who can occupy a single family or a two family structure. But a dwelling unit essentially can support a family in across the residential zoning districts of the city. So a family, and it's a very short definition, I won't bore you with too much information here, but the definition of family in zoning ordinance is a group of individuals, whether or not related, living together in a dwelling unit in a structured relationship constituting an organized housekeeping unit. So that's a fairly broad definition, and you're not required to be related to constitute a family is in terms of the zoning ordinance. So that's been one of the challenges when we've gotten calls and complaints about uses that have taken place in single-family districts or two-family districts. If I have to have some evidentiary criteria that is met before I can say you're not living as a family, you're a different type of use group category. So that's basically, from my perspective, from a zoning standpoint, there are a broad range of means by which these uses take place in the residential districts, and they are categorized individually depending on the level of services provided. So I know we're going to be hearing from some of the uses that are proposed within the neighborhood, and that may, I can certainly chime in with any questions on how we categorize those uses when the time comes. But I think at this point, I'll step back, let my colleagues speak, and then be prepared to try to answer any questions you might have.
I can go, I guess.
All right, that's, we look at things in the,
can you introduce yourself?
Oh, my name's Danny Goon, I'm the fire chief in Manchester. So, we've been working this for a long time. As you know, we have the Safe Station program in Manchester and in Nashua. We've seen well over 10,000 people come through the door, so the need for these types of residences is huge. And we all know we're in this drug crisis, and with that brought a lot of different changes to our, as Leon would say, our housing stock. Because what we've seen is a big uptick in folks trying to help. I don't want to say some are good and some are bad, but there's a lot of people out there that, you know, are fresh out of recovery that want to get a place going, and they want to help as many people as they can. We see everything out there, right? It's when I say, like in the paper today, it's a Wild West show out there. It really is, because we don't know where these places are. When we put a list together, that list is made up of my firefighters, officers, my fire prevention division, just getting reports, going to ambulance calls, going to fire calls, and just coming back to fire prevention and myself saying, I think we have a sober living facility. Now really, in the fire code, there's no such thing as sober living. We don't even have it. So when we check out a place, we look, like Leon said, are there three people living there that are unrelated? Because then it's a rooming house. Now, if I had to do that to all the places out there, I'd be closing everybody down. Knowing that there's a massive drug issue out there, and such a huge need for housing and good transitional living, we started to look at these places and said, okay, how can we work with these folks to get these buildings at least relatively safe, or so I can sleep at night, and that people who are coming out of treatment and into early recovery can have a safe place to stay, because you know that's what they deserve. You know, so that's I'm certainly an advocate for that. You know, we don't really look at the zoning part of it. All I know is that we want to have a building, and generally these places are multi-family buildings, and we see a lot of, let me give you an example. I'll have a captain call me up and say, hey, I just went to this building, we had a small fire in there, and I think there's a sober living facility there, because there's a crap load of people in there, three floors are full. So we'll go check it out, and
they'll come by saying, well, you know, we're really not a sober living facility. We're just a family living in sobriety. That's what we'll get with some of them. Because, you know, they think I'm the bad guy coming in, but really what we want to do as the fire department is we're willing to help you make this building safe. The problem is there's a lot of folks out there that are doing it maybe to make some dough, and there's other folks that are doing it for the right reasons, trying to, you know, help people. The folks that are in your neighborhoods, as far as we're concerned, are the latter. You know, they work with us. They come to the fire department and say, hey, how can we do this better? How can we help us get through the process so we can have a place that's relatively, you know, that you can support as somewhere being safe. Now, I'm not talking about where they should operate. I'm just saying how, you know, in our eyes, how what it should look like. So we've supported a couple of bills along the way. Over the last 4 years, we've been up to Concord many, many times in trying to get some legislation out there so at least we can say, okay, this is a safe building, relatively safe building. It can go through a variance process with the state fire marshal so we can say, okay, you're all set to operate as far as we're concerned. We'll inspect once or twice a year and we'll be safe. That's good.
Chief, when you find these buildings, do you report them to Community and Planning Development so they can determine whether or not they're operating in conformance with the zoning?
We meet with these guys every Friday, so I think we're kind of on the same page as far as what we find and what you find. We talk a lot.
It's a simple question. Do you turn over the addresses, and if they do, Leon, are you looking to see whether or not these places are operating in conformance with the zoning?
We have not received any addresses from the fire department.
Thank you. So, Chief, don't you think you should be reporting them to building to make sure that they're operating in compliance with the zoning, or are you making the decision unilaterally that because you're trying to make them safe, they're okay to operate?
Well, let me ask my fire prevention.
We have been in communication with the building department. I believe we have. Mike, I have sent him stuff before. So, but we are, as far as the zoning part, I don't.
He's saying no.
We've talked about maybe 2288, but we've never received a list, so to speak.
Yeah, we really don't have a list put together. Like I can, you know, it's on. I know it's on his computer about how we can. What's that?
Where the numbers come from?
The numbers come from
a list of addresses. They're just your suspicions.
Yes.
Yes. Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. But I thought you said
they're pretty good suspicions.
Yeah.
Like you have one.
I do have a
yes.
environment. It's called a safe community.
Yeah.
Self-actualizing family environment. And are you aware of the Fair Housing Act?
Yes.
We're aware of a lot of stuff.
You know that it's targeting a class of individuals.
I'll get to that. We've
Act.
Talked a lot about this, and I'll get to it. But yeah, it's true. It's complicated because mm-hmm. it is. You know, is it a protected? Are these folks a protected class?
Yes.
You know. And this, you know, I'm fighting both ends here. I'm just trying to make it.
The neighbors.
We're all human beings. We're all people that need housing. You can't target a specific class of people against housing.
That's what zoning does.
You have vacant buildings, though.
Hey, guys, let's, if we could, let's let the presentations take place, and then we can have questions.
Yeah, I'd like to hear the presentation and then the comments from people here with different sides of the interest here in the situation.
Right. I'm just saying it's a complicated thing. We are concerned about whether it's an ADA issue. When up in Concord, if I speak on this subject, certainly the next person that's going to speak after me is an attorney. It's either an attorney for the National Alliance of Recovery Residences, New Hampshire Corps, attorneys from Florida. They're all over the place. So we are cognizant of that. That's why we have the solicitor's office here, because we are concerned about what a family is. And if a family means that anybody, that definition is very difficult, because if you have a family and you have 10 people living in your under your single family, you're in a family, right? If this goes to court and they say, okay, you know something, Chief? They're a family. They can be anywhere. Right? Essentially, if you have a family, you can be anywhere. So, like, I talked to Alderman Roy today, and we were talking about this today. It's like,
you know, if the Roy family had 15 people, I can't go in there and say, hey, Roy family, you have too many people in your house. And just the same thing is, you know, if these folks were living in a family, right? If that was the definition of family, I can't tell them anything. It's like, hey, well, have fun in your family, right? All I'm trying to do as the fire chief is I'm worried about people being safe, whether it's, you know, the neighbors that are in the adjoining building, or if it's the folks that are in recovery. I just want to try to have people as safe as possible in this building. And understanding that there's a really large need for safe sober living, good sober living, and transitional housing. It is what it is. This is what we're fighting right now. Maybe I should be talking to these guys more, but I don't think they're gonna take any enforcement action and close places down like some people want. So, I guess
maybe you should be talking to them.
It's not your job to do that.
So I'm concerned about the fire department. I'm concerned about buildings being safe as far as the fire department goes. You can criticize me all you want, and I'm sure I'll hear about it. But you know, it is what it is. You know, it's building, it's fire. You know, ask me any questions. I'm a big boy. I can handle it, especially from my friend here up front.
Are we at the question phase, or is there more?
My question is more towards the zoning aspect of it. I totally understand where you're coming from.
I get it.
The zoning aspect is where my question is.
And I can tell you, these places here, yeah. I mean, do we go to a lot of these places for overdoses? Yeah, sometimes.
Your job is to protect people from burning and property from burning. That's totally understandable.
Wait now.
Let's hear from the city solicitor.
Oh, okay. Tell us when we get to ask questions.
All right.
Okay.
Good evening. My name is Gregory Muller. I'm an attorney with the city solicitor's office. Our office is the legal department for the city. We offer legal advice to the various departments. Without going into, obviously, I can't divulge what legal advice is, so questions about specific cases I cannot answer. However, we will certainly work with each department. If they have a question for us regarding the legality of an action, we will answer it. Where the current legislation stands, as of right now, Chief mentioned some bills pending. There's HB 311 that just passed the House. That will now be before the Senate. That talks about certain exemptions that can be awarded by the state fire marshal to particular residents. Again, that's not a final law yet. That just passed the House. It's still pending before the Senate. Outside of that, you'll hear various federal laws, as well as state laws and local ordinances. Without getting to specifics of each case, we would certainly look at each one of them and make a determination one way or another.
Can you speak to the five issues that a particular building has to meet to get a zoning variance?
There are certainly general criteria that need to be met. Those are set out in our zoning ordinance.
For the audience, can you
come with
the
zoning ordinance?
Greg, let me jump in.
If you like,
Mike Landrieu, Planning, Community Development. The variance must not be contrary to the public interest. It must be in the spirit of the ordinance. Substantial justice must be done. There cannot be devaluing of abutting properties, and they must show an unnecessary hardship.
On what?
On denying the variance. So they're saying they just need to show a hardship for the variance. Like, their property is different than any other property, and because my yard has a sloped, ledge area, I can't put my shed anywhere else other than over here. That's my hardship.
So the hardship can't be, we didn't know we had to conform to the zoning before we started operating.
That's a fair.
Okay, thank you.
All right, let's we'll go ahead and jump into the questions for our city staff up here. I'll also remind people that we have people representing the actual projects, two of which at least that are proposed, again, both Liberty House and Blueprint Recovery. So we can feel free to ask questions to them as well, here in front.
Okay. I thought we should say where we live because it kind of gives you a sense of the location. I live at the corner of Oak and Myrtle Street, so I'm two houses down from the property on Russell and Myrtle. My name is Lucia Carlisle. And I have lived in my property for 40 years. When I moved to that piece of property, we had to go under variance because it was a strictly R2 district, meaning second family residential. But my husband and I had an engineering office, an accounting office. So we had a business prior to that. An architect lived there and it had to have the variance changed. So I have dutifully lived very quietly in my corner, doing exactly what I was legally allowed to do. My question is that the sense I get is that we have a difference between, is this a family or is this a business that's running? So that there seems to be entities that have bought up properties that are either renting or somehow receiving funds from third-party entities to take care of or support the housing for individuals. Whether they call themselves a family or not, it smacks to me, as just a small old-fashioned accountant, is it's a business because a third party is coming in to pay for that person to live in that property. And I think that if I treat it as a business, that they should follow the same sets of rules of, I want to have a business here. Okay, go for your variance, see if you do it, see if you qualify. All the rules that 40 years ago and to this day, only accountants and engineers can be in my office, do, because it's only fair. So that's my general sense of what's going on.
That'll be a long night if we're gonna have applause between every question, I think. But let me try to answer that. What we're talking about is, yes, every rental property in the city, every investor-owned property that rents it for purposes of residence, for purposes of commerce, whatever, is a business. The zoning ordinance is really blind to that. It doesn't take into account what the business relationship is for the occupants of the building. What it does is it focuses on how the property is used, mm-hmm. what the use is that's taking place on site. So in the case of your property, because Tyler had his engineering firm there and you had kind of business there, that was the focus.
Cool, that's nice. Great guy.
Tyler was my hero.
Oh, that's cool. That's nice.
That's the focus of the variance that allowed for you to have the businesses taking place as an activity on the site, not as distinguished from somebody who owns a rental property and then rents apartments. So if they rent an apartment to a group of individuals that constitute a family in a case like this, or rent to a group of related individuals who have a familiar relationship, it's the same context as in terms of the way the zoning ordinance looks at it. Okay. So it's not, it doesn't distinguish it quite the way that you're...
Okay.
Right.
Coming in today for a short period and then leaving?
Yeah.
Sorry.
90 days, transient use, 90 days.
That's if it was like a hometown.
Terms of a motel, I'm not sure I understand if
they period of time is not living there as a lease would be on an apartment. I know I own properties and you come and inspect me all the time and every little thing has to be checked out. And all my smoking permits. And if I ever opened up a single family to a two family without permission from the city, I would be closed immediately. And nobody has done anything about it.
And it really comes down to, are they operating as a family unit? Now, a lot of these, of course, we haven't done an evaluation on. I think that's going to be the case in most of these properties. I don't have the same awareness that the fire department does about where these properties exist, where these uses exist, because my people aren't going out on the calls. My people are inspecting them for a certificate of compliance, or they're not inspecting them at all, it's a single family. dwelling. So I don't have that same knowledge. But if it's being occupied as a, if each unit is being occupied as a family under the terms of the zoning ordinance, then it would be, if it's a legal unit, then it, they would be allowed to continue.
Gary?
Thank you. I want to sort of skip to the end game on this, right? So what they've given anyone that owns property is a blueprint on how to get around all the city zoning and ordinance laws because they're not being enforced, right? And that's true. And what I read in the paper was that Chief Goonan is okay with relaxing the codes if they register. So he's gonna make it easier for them. Ultimately, if there's a fire at one of these places, people could die. He's willing to relax those. But let me tell you what the end game is. Yes, we need sober homes. I'm the first one to tell you that. We need them. No one in this room knows nobody that's been affected by addictions. A lot of people are affected by it. We know we need it. The question is where? In all the studies that talk about no negative impact on a neighborhood, yeah, they leave one point out. The point is this. As they cluster in a neighborhood, the neighborhood really becomes, transforms into a de facto social services district. So the challenge we have is this. We have the home where 18 or 27 disabled vets are going to be able to live. My father was a vet, I had uncles that were vets. We've got that, we've got the house here. Two doors up from there is a boarding house. And if you go look at your records, you'll find that was never officially approved, but the tax assessor's field card was changed. You'll tell me you don't have digital data that far back. We've got a boarding house there. And these same people that the fire chief says have come forward, they're also operating one right up the street. They've already had an OD. On November 26th, 9 o'clock at night, your department responded, had an OD in another property 300 or 400 feet away. What has the city done? The answer is nothing. So it comes down to this. If you continue to do nothing, these are going to cluster in our neighborhoods and destroy neighborhoods. If there's only 60 now and you allow this to happen, heck, me and a few guys, we can pick up a lot of properties. We can rent them out. I heard today $225 a week for some of these beds. $225. We did the math. I can sell my house and bring in about, well, rent my house out for $4,000 or $5,000 a week. I wouldn't do it. So realize what the end game is if you don't start, if you don't start managing this.
Anybody want to respond?
I can tell you. I do, you know, I there is a problem out there, and we've been working it for a while. Now, I've been working with the state fire marshal. It's not just me. It's with the fire chiefs of New Hampshire. We're putting together this House Bill 311 was something that we all came together on to certainly cut out a piece of the fire code to address sober living. That's what we're doing.
Why does it have to be strict enforcement for Joe back here who has a bunch of properties versus a sober living home? This is about the safety of the occupants, not whether or not they're part of a protected group. So why are you relaxing?
It's relaxed as far as rooming houses. It is relaxed as far as rooming houses, but it's more strict than you would have for a three family. It's more strict, and we're limiting them to 16. Occupants in the three families.
Why are you
there's more than 16, buddy? I live across the street from there. There's more than 16.
Well, actually, 270.
I'm Chief Goonan, by the way. I'm not Buddy.
Sorry, sir. Fire Chief, you're familiar with 273 Dubuque Street. You were there, and it was $75,000 for them to fix it. What ultimately happened? Did you require that they make those changes to keep all those occupants safe?
Is that one we're looking at?
That's still pending. I can't really comment on it. I'm sorry, I can't.
How long
they
is
are
it
making
pending?
Changes.
A year and a half?
No, about a year.
A year
or
and
nine
a
months.
Okay.
It's in the 9 months, but it's been going for about
Thank
a year.
You.
Yes.
And we're working with Fire Marshal's office on that also. This is not just a community
it's
issue.
A very,
this is
very,
a state issue. It's very,
it's very complex. It's very complex. We got some pretty significant opinions from the AG's office that the definition of family is the big hang up. Nobody wants to touch that definition.
But if you had seven children,
it's in the courts to figure it out. It's not, you know, I don't disagree with some of the stuff you're saying,
right.
But I'm not the one to define family. The courts are going to have to define family. And that's the problem.
Yeah, right, we have a question right back here. Call on twice. I wanted to ask my question. Would you be able to recite back that definition of family you read earlier?
No, absolutely. Keep in mind that this is only the definition of family is in the context of the zoning ordinance. The definition of family for the life safety code, the building code is a different definition.
And our definition for family from the fire code comes out of Webster's dictionary. It's very, very, very broad.
A group of individuals, whether or not related, living together in a dwelling unit in a structured relationship constituting an organized housekeeping unit.
Structured relationship organized by housekeeping unit. My name is Hannah Scott. I live right on this block at the corner of Oak and Orange. I think a lot of my concerns are similar to what Lucia and other residents today have expressed, and I feel frustrated that a lot of the defense by members of the city department has been kind of hinging on this definition of family, and I know many of you might experience those same frustrations. That's really an indefensible definition for family if that's going to be what's governing our ordinances and our residents and how we live. When I feel like there's no guarantee that a family would be the smallest possible unit of dwellers in a home. So say I have a multifamily and that has five different families in it, but I also have a lease that says everyone has to shovel out their part of the driveway. There's other housekeeping units and